No sound.
Is from the Gospel of Mark this morning, early in the Gospel, chapter 1. If you want to follow, it's on page 990. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
be to God. Well, you might remember back to last week, and the story was just a little bit earlier. It was Jesus in the synagogue casting out a demon from a man. I wanted to show you what... we're going the wrong way, I suppose. I just wanted to show you what the synagogue was like. Not able to show you what the synagogue was like by the look of it. I thought there were to be some pictures inserted of what the synagogue looks like today. All you can see today, when you have a look, is the floor and a couple of the walls, two of the walls with a little bit of columns around, and the floor. That's all that's left of the first century temple that was there. But it was so interesting to be able to stand and know that this is where Jesus was, where he had actually been standing and healing people. Now you might wonder, because we hear a lot about the casting out of demons from people. Today we don't seem to see that sort of illness, but Jesus was casting them out so that he could make way for the kingdom of God to come in. They knew who God was, and they were working against what God was trying to do. But Jesus was casting them out so that it would clear the way for God's kingdom to come in. Even in today's reading, it says that he drove out many demons just from the local people, not necessarily in the synagogue. But our story progresses from the synagogue into Simon Peter's house. And when they get home, Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who I might tell you doesn't even rate a name, but Simon Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. At that time, it wasn't just a matter of let's get something to bring the fever down, no aspirin or anything like that. If you had a fever, a bad fever, you were pretty close to death and you were likely to just die. So it was a fairly serious sort of thing that she had. But Jesus went in, spoke to her. In today's reading it says, he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. But when you read some of the older testament, older versions of the New Testament, it says he raised her up. And to me there's a bit of a difference. difference between raising somebody up and just helping them to get up. What he had actually done was restore her back to her community. While she was so ill, she was pushed away, hidden away almost, in a room, not able to talk to people. But he has brought her back. Instantly, she gets up and serves them. But the main thing is he has restored her to her community. She was a person who would have been in charge of that household, running the household. She would have not necessarily done all the work, but said, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. That person was missing, and then she was restored back. So when we look at the two healings, the healing of casting out the demon and healing Peter's mother-in-law, we see that God is, or Jesus is clearing the way for God's world to come in and restoring people to community. Rather an interesting sort of story, isn't it? But of course we're Anglican and we have other readings. We didn't have them all this morning, but we also had an interesting reading from St. Paul. St. Paul, who was in writing to the Corinthians and telling them that he is compelled to spread the news, the good news. He says it's a privilege, but it's also an obligation to be out there telling people about Jesus. I wonder if we feel like that. Do we feel an obligation to be telling people about Jesus? Have a think about it. Do we just drop the name of God into our conversations, letting people know that we're Christian, letting them know that if they've got anything that we can help them with, we're happy to do that? Do we go around on television spreading the news like some of the tele-evangelists? Do we go around standing on street corners? It's a long time since I've seen anybody standing on street corners. But when I was a child, there were people down in the Domain, usually standing on their box, spruiking forth about God's love. We've gradually let all of that go, haven't we? We don't hear about God unless we come to church or unless we're mixing with other Christian people. It's our responsibility to help God. It's a privilege, but it is also a liability that we go and tell people about God. This is done in lots and lots of different ways. But coming back to the story about Jesus and Peter's mother-in-law. When Jesus healed her, she got up and served him and served the disciples. You know what it's like when you've been sick? Do you feel like getting up and making a meal for 20 or so people? She was fine. She could do that because Jesus had healed her properly. But the word, not in today's gospel, but in the older translations, the word is served. She served Jesus and his disciples. So I'm thinking that she's probably the very first person in the gospel that's recorded as a Christian, as serving Jesus. That's our job, isn't it? Serving Jesus. That's where the responsibility about spreading the gospel comes in. An unnamed lady, an older lady, serving God. An interesting thing, and we don't even know the name. But when you're working hard like Jesus was, he went to the synagogue in the morning, then he came home, healed Peter's mother-in-law, and it says after dark, when the day had changed in Jewish terms, people, everybody from the town was there on his doorstep. Everybody had something that they needed healing. When Jesus had finished, he had a rest, but then while it was dark, he got up and he went away by himself to spend time with God. While he was spending time with God, he and God had decided it was time to move on. He'd done what he could in Capernaum, he moved on to the next town. But I wonder when we're doing ministry and we're starting to get drained, how are we revived? How are we sustained in our ministry? Is it by spending time with God? Is it by being away without people being there asking and wanting things? Do we find sustaining in coming to church or in going to Bible studies? They're all ways that should be encouraging our ministry. The most important, of course, is spending time alone with God. Not talking all the time to God. Maybe talking for a little while, and then the important part is listening. Listen to what God is asking us to do. It's an interesting exercise. God might be asking us to do something altogether different from what we think we should be doing. So the important thing and the sustaining thing is to be listening to God, finding time to draw away from all the troubles of the world and sitting quietly and listening.